The reading is from Matthew chapter 1, starting at verse 18, and it's on page 965 of the Pew Bible. Matthew 1, verse 18, and then I'll be reading from some verses in chapter 2, and I'll call those out as we go along. The birth of Jesus Christ. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child, and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. And chapter 2, starting at verse 1, the visit of the Magi. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. And then we move to verse 13. The escape to Egypt. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt. And verse 19. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, "He will be called a Nazarene."
Don't know if I've told you this joke before. I think I might have. But anyway, it's worth telling again. How do you make God laugh? How do you make God laugh? I did tell it before. Do you know, I hate someone that ruins the punchline of a joke. Anyway, yes, tell him your plans. You can make God laugh by telling him your plans. Yeah, as Proverbs says, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. We may think we have plans. We're very good at making plans, aren't we? But those don't always work out like we intend them to work out. Last week, I looked at the story of Mary. We've been looking at this cast and order of appearance. We looked at Mary, the mother of Joseph, last week, mother of Jesus. But today is Joseph. And I'm sure Joseph was a man with a plan. I'm sure he had many plans. He certainly had planned to marry Mary, probably planned to be happy, happily married, live happily ever after, probably planned for his business, I don't know, expand his business, grow his business, have a family, do all the things that people did back then. He had lots of plans. But his plans were going to be thrown up in the air quite dramatically. And in the story of Joseph, we're going to see an ordinary man who lived in an ordinary town living an ordinary life, but something was going to happen to turn his life upside down. When we look at the life of Joseph, we look at this Christmas story, there's many people a part of that story, and everybody speaks, except Joseph. We don't hear Joseph speaking at all. Last week we thought about Mary, we heard her speaking to the angel. In fact, we heard her singing a song. We heard Gabriel speaking. The heavenly hosts fill the sky, we hear them singing a song. The shepherds come along, we hear the shepherds speaking. The magi come along, we hear the magi speaking. But Joseph doesn't get to speak in this text. He's almost just like one of Debbie's kind of characters at the back. He's there, but he's insignificant. He's a bystander, an onlooker. We can overlook him very easily. And yet the life of Joseph has got so much to teach us, so much to tell us, because he was very important. And what we're going to think about today is a couple of important things that we get from the life of Joseph. And one is what it means to have faith. The second one is what it means to be a father. What it means to have faith. What it means to be a father. As we know, Joseph and Mary were engaged to be married. They were pledged to one another. Engagement back then wasn't like engagement today, which can easily be broken. Back then, it was a very serious matter. It was almost like being married without being married. A pledge was made. All the arrangements, all the legalities were done. It was set in place. It was set in stone. It would happen. And then Mary breaks this news to him. Joseph, I'm expecting a baby. Can you imagine how Joseph felt? His world would have been turned upside down. He would have been reeling, shell-shocked at such a thing. He was an ordinary man living an ordinary life with his plans, and suddenly, what was he going to do? He had a decision to make. What he could have done was to marry her. But marrying her would be tantamount to an admission that he was the father and she was pregnant before they were married and all the stuff that went around that, the shame, the stigma, the gossip. He could do that, or he could divorce her, because that's what it took to break that engagement. He could divorce her. That would be painful for everybody, especially for Mary. But he had to decide what to do. What was he going to do? Matthew 1:19. But Joseph was a righteous man and did not want to expose Mary to public disgrace, so he had in mind to divorce her quietly. He was going to divorce her quietly. He was a good man, a kind man. But verse 20, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Joseph was in the line of David. That is a really important thing. Most of Matthew chapter 1 is taken up with that genealogy. But he went right back to King David. Then verse 24, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. He married her. Why did he marry her? Because that is what God had told him to do. Didn't think about all the consequences or what the meaning of it, but he did it because the Lord asked him to do that. Marry Mary. And he did. That was God's plan, not Joseph's plan necessarily. And this was God's command. But God's commands often aren't convenient for us. They don't fall into line with what we want to do. They're often awkward. We find that over and over again, and that's what Joseph was to find. Last week we thought about obedience, but we thought about Mary. The angel said to Mary that this was going to happen. And she said, let it be to me as you say. She was only a young girl, expecting a baby. She didn't understand the ramifications. It was just, the big news was big news, and it was just too much to take in. But she was willing to be obedient and do what God said. And obedience is at the heart of faith. Remember I said last week, faith without obedience is worthless. It's empty. It's delusional. If we believe, if we have faith, we will obey. If Abraham had heard God say, go and I will bless you, you'll have a family, I will give you a land, if he hadn't have obeyed, he wouldn't have had that blessing. If Moses hadn't have obeyed God, he wouldn't have encountered God face to face. If the Israelites in Egypt hadn't obeyed God by taking the blood and putting it on the doorpost and the lintel, then their firstborn would have died. They would have remained slaves in Egypt if they hadn't obeyed. Obedience is at the very heart of our faith. And that is what God asks us to do. Our faith isn't simply an intellectual exercise, which it can seem when you're sitting here. Something to believe in our heads. But that's not the way the Hebrews thought about it. And that's not the way we must think about it. It's about living in faith and obedience every moment of every day, with every aspect of our lives. That's what it means to believe. That's what it means to have faith. But it was God's plan that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Now, everybody knew that. Micah the prophet had prophesied that hundreds of years before. The Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. The only problem is, Mary and Joseph don't live in Bethlehem. How is that going to work? But then, lo and behold, there's a decree from an emperor far, far away, someone they don't even know, who issues a decree to hold a census. And to hold a census meant everybody had to go back to their ancestral cities. And Joseph, being in the line of David, had to go to Bethlehem. Isn't it amazing the way God makes a plan come together? I love it when a plan comes together, you can hear God say. And off they went. Well, was that convenient? No. That was 100 miles away. No dart, no train, no car, no nice roads, no beautiful views, on foot, maybe with a donkey. It was a long way to go. It was inconvenient. He had to leave behind the world that he knew. He had to leave behind the work that he did. It was expensive. He'd have to stay along the way somewhere and incurred expense. It was a real pain in the neck. And he had a wife who was heavily pregnant. It was inconvenient. But God's plans are often inconvenient. And that's what Joseph had to do. Because this was God's plan, not Joseph's plan. Has God ever led you in ways that seem inconvenient? Has he ever asked you to do something and you don't really want to hear what he's saying? So you ignore him. Because it doesn't fit in with your plan or my plan. Whose plan do we follow? Faith without obedience is worthless. So they go to Bethlehem, and while they're there, things take a sinister turn. We know the story of the wise men, of the Magi, of Herod. They're there to have a baby, and the wise men see a star. They come to Herod because they know that a king has been born, and you would go to Jerusalem because that's where kings are born, and you see a king to see where's the new king that's been born. So they go to Herod, and they say, where's the king who's been born? And Herod doesn't like the sound of this. Someone to challenge his authority. Herod was not a nice kind of a guy. He would wipe out anyone who got in his way. So tell me, wise man, where he's going to be born. You go and research it. You go and find him. And as soon as you find him, you come back to me. And when you come back to me, I will go with you and I will worship him too. We know that part of the story. And when they had gone, when the Magi had gone, chapter 2, verse 13, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So what did Joseph do? Did he say, oh, I can't be bothered, I've come a long way, my feet are very sore, the donkey's tired, the baby's young, no, I think we'll just stay put. No, it says, so he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. Obedience once again. Can you imagine him in the middle of the night? He had the dream. The angel says, you've got to go. The child is under threat. Herod wants to kill him. So he gets up. He goes to Mary. Mary. What? We've got to go. We've got to leave. What are you talking about? Do you know what time it is, Joseph? We need to go. The Lord has told me in a dream. The child's life is under threat. We have to go immediately. It was inconvenient. It was a bit of a pain. He'd rather stay in bed. But he got up. Took the child and his mother and left as the Lord had told him to do. The third dream happened in Egypt, for that's where they fled to. Matthew 2, verse 19. Herod dies, and after he had died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph. God spoke in dreams to Joseph in the Old Testament, and to Daniel, but also to Joseph in the New, and no one else has more dreams than this Joseph. He spoke to him a dream and said, get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel. Go back home, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead. So what did he do? Did he say, we have put down roots in Egypt. We like the food in Egypt. No, it says, so he got up, took the child and his mother, and went back to the land of Israel. He doesn't question, he doesn't doubt, he just does it without any fuss. Is this not an example of faith to us? And isn't this what Jesus is looking for? Didn't Jesus say, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. But the foolish man is the one who hears the words and doesn't put them into practice. This is what God wants from us, our obedience. And then finally, the fourth dream, on the way back from Egypt, Joseph was concerned about going back to that place because he knew that Herod's son, Archelaus, had taken over. And Archelaus was not a nice man. He was no better than Herod. So in a dream, God spoke to Joseph again and said to him to go back, not to Judea, but to Galilee. And that's what he did. Went to Nazareth. Isn't that amazing? This child wasn't even Joseph's child. Looking after your own child and the inconvenience that that brings, and there's many inconveniences to children, that's one thing, but looking after someone else's child? What a challenge. But that's exactly what Joseph did and taught him many things. Taught him how to be a carpenter. But more than that, so much more than that, he taught him how to follow God. God had chosen Joseph. And it's all wrapped up in that word, Joseph was a righteous man. Five words. Joseph was a righteous man. God knew the caliber of the man. He knew what he was like. He moved in step with the Spirit. He recognized the voice of God. How does God speak to you? Back in the Old Testament, remember the story of Samuel and Eli? Samuel went to live in the temple with the priest Eli, and God spoke to Samuel one night and said, Samuel, Samuel, and he ran to Eli and said, Eli, did you call me? He said, no, I didn't. Go back to bed. And a second time God spoke. And Samuel got up and he went to Eli and he said, what do you want? And Eli said, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. But then he taught him how to recognize God's voice, realizing that it was the Lord that was speaking, and said, next time you hear that voice, you say, Lord, speak, for your servant is listening. And sure enough, God speaks. Samuel, Samuel, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. How does God speak to you? Because it's a learned thing. God speaks to us primarily through his word, this book in front of you, in your hands. This is God's word to us. This is how God speaks. He could speak in a dream. He could speak through some other godly people. He could speak through circumstance. God can speak in many ways. But we need to learn how to hear his voice and to recognize it. Because there are many voices in the world. Many voices saying lots of things. Live, drink, be merry, for tomorrow we die. There's lots of voices in the world, but the most important voice is his. But we need to learn to recognize it. So Joseph was chosen. He was chosen by God. It was a real privilege. Chosen to protect the Son of God. Chosen to protect the Chosen One. Chosen to protect the light of the world. Chosen to protect the Messiah. What an awesome privilege, but what an awesome responsibility. But he was obedient to God because he loved God. And the greatest thing anyone can do for his child is to love the child's mother. I remember hearing that years ago. And it's so true, isn't it? The most important thing in being a father is to love the mother. Love is the key to everything. Joseph loved Mary. Joseph loved Jesus. And that's what we're called to do with our children as well. It can be really inconvenient. Painful. But it says in 1 Corinthians that love bears all things. Love endures all things. When you love, everything else falls into place. Joseph was not really Jesus' father, but he was chosen to be a father. And fathers or father figures play such an important role in the upbringing of children. Today it's much more difficult because the whole idea of traditional roles is kind of gone. But Joseph taught Jesus many things, but primarily to follow God. And so it is with us. We can teach our children many things, but the most important thing is to teach them how to recognize God's voice and to follow. So if you've got children in Sunday Club today, whenever you get home, will you ask them what they learned today? You should. What did you do in Sunday Club today? Tease it out. Find out what that means for them today. How do you apply that? What does that mean? Is it not just words? How do you obey it? Read your Bible with your children. Pray with your children. Pray for your children. Show them how to follow God. Model what it means to be a person, a follower of God. That is what Joseph did. He did all of this, and he did it successfully. He shows us what faith means. It means to listen and to obey and to teach the next generation how to follow, how to listen, how to obey. That's the lesson for us from the life of Joseph.
How could it be, this baby in my arms, sleeping now, so peacefully, the Son of God, the angel said, how could it be? Lord, I know, it's not my own, not of my flesh, not of my bones. Still, Father, let this baby be. the Son of my love. Father, show me where I fit into this plan of yours. How can a man be father to the Son of God? Lord, for all my life I've been a simple carpenter. How can I raise a king? How can I raise a king? He looks so small, his face and hands so fair. When he cries, the sun just seems to disappear. But when he laughs, it shines again. How could it be? Father, show me where I fit into this plan of yours. How can a man be father to the Son of God? Lord, for all my life I've been a simple carpenter. How can I raise a king? How can I raise a king? How could it be? This baby in my arms, sleeping now so peacefully, the Son of God, the angel said, how could it be? How could it be? How could it be?